What's the best hamburger in the state of Wisconsin? A new book delves into exactly what makes the hamburger so great. It's perfect because it's Monday, September 7th. It's Labor Day. Happy Labor Day. This is Wisconsin Today Morning News. Good morning. I'm Alex Crow. Coming up on the show today, two stories for this Labor Day. We'll hear an interview with the author of Hamburger America, and we'll hear a story from Wisconsin Life about how the tuba anchors the UW marching band.
The basic German culture of the state, I think, has a lot to do with it. Polka bands, bands and beer, if you will.
Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Jill Nadeau. I've been gardening all my life, and I'm still learning. Whether you're planting your first tomatoes or tending a garden you've had for years, there's always more to know. Join me with your questions for our expert guests on Garden Talk, Fridays at 11 with an encore on Saturday mornings at 5, right here on WPR News. Let's grow together.
I'm going to ask you to take a second and think, what is your favorite burger in the state of Wisconsin? Is it a longtime staple or relatively new? If you're looking for something new to try, Greg Moats has you covered. He's cataloged some of the best burgers in Wisconsin as part of a nationwide guidebook. The latest edition of Hamburger America was released earlier this year and features 220 restaurants organized by state, documenting regional burgers and both new and old burger joints nationwide. Moats is a restaurant owner himself, a burger scholar, and the author of Hamburger America, a state-by-state guide to 220 of the greatest burger joints across the country. He appeared on WPR's Wisconsin Today and spoke with Rob Ferret about what sets Wisconsin apart in the world of hamburgers.
All right, looking at your book, just starting at the table of contents, Wisconsin, heavily represented. We're second, I think, only to Texas, which is bigger and more beef forward. What is it about Wisconsin that makes us have so many great burgers?
The one thing that Texas does not have that that Wisconsin has in a big way is a variety. There's not a lot of burger variety in Texas. A lot of great burgers, don't get me wrong. I mean, lots of great burgers. But I would say that there's only one other state that may rival Wisconsin, which is Ohio, for variety and also quantity. So that's quantity and quality.
And the variety reminds me, I love your burger philosophy, right? Because I could imagine somebody going into the burger world thinking, here's my vision of the ideal burger, and I'll measure the burgers I try compared to that. You very explicitly like variety, and you want to see regional variation and people trying new stuff. Why do you want to see that, I guess, diversity in the burger world?
For the very simple reason that you should never walk into a restaurant and place your expectations on someone else's burger that they're going to produce. You should accept what they're making and like it or not. It's as simple as that. It's true. You shouldn't go in. I remember in the old days, people would walk into restaurants with calipers and scales and weigh burgers and say, well, the cheese wasn't thick enough, so therefore it goes down a click in my book. It's absolutely the wrong way to do things. Is that the way I see it is, if a restaurant has been making burgers the same way for 100 years, then you really have no business at all imparting your wisdom, your supposed wisdom, on their history.
Well, let's start naming names. And here's a story. I think you've told some before, but this is an important part in your development as a burger fan. Sally's Grill in Glendale. It was an early love of yours. It made it into your film about burger places. And of course, it's still in your book. What is it about Sally's Grill?
Sally's is simply one of the greatest butterburger emporiums on earth. And of course, outside of Wisconsin, very few people don't understand what a butterburger is. We don't have to explain it, I'm sure, on this show. I hope not, at least. But the difference between most butterburger places and Sally's is that at Sally's, they actually use about a 2 to 3 tablespoon dollop of butter on every burger. And it's soft, it's room temperature, and it's perfect. And it really does turn butter into a condiment, just like ketchup or mustard.
You also, in addition to evaluating the burgers themselves in the book, You also love going into the story, right? Part of the joy of this for you is the story of the owner, or often in these places that have been around for decades, owners over the years. What's the story of Sully's?
So Sully's has been around for a very long time, since the 1930s. It's moved a few times. It has a really cool story where at one point they were asked to move only a few hundred yards to make way for a, of all things, a heart outpatient facility. So the joke is, of course, you
can't write that. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't write that. You can't make that up. If you thought you've had too many Butterburgers, just walk across the parking lot and have your heart examined, right? They've had a great, great history. And, you know, honestly, there is some there is some history there where apparently, and I'm not entirely sure, but apparently it is the birthplace of the modern, the real Butterburger in Wisconsin was at Sully's.
I don't know about you, but I'm ready to go fire up the grill. You can find that full interview with author and burger scholar Greg Motes at WPR.org/Wisconsin Today. Coming up, the Badgers marching band prominently features the tuba. We'll find out why. Stay with us.
Morning Edition brings you the news straight from reporters watching stories unfold.
To talk about that, we're joined by NPR's international correspondent Aya Batraoui in Dubai. Good morning.
Mose Bashel from member station KUT gives us a view from Austin, Texas.
NPR's Eder Peralta is with us now from Venezuela's capital, Caracas. Eder, good morning.
Join us for a front row seat every weekday on Morning Edition from NPR News.
And finally, it's time for Wisconsin Life. Here's producer Maureen McCullum with a story about a bombastic instrument making its way across UW's campus.
We recently received a question from Elizabeth Renner of Madison. She asked us, through WPR's Wisconsin Project, why are tubas such a prominent part of the UW-Madison band? And why are they so popular in Wisconsin? WPR's Tim Peterson marched right down to the Madison campus to get some answers.
The tuba has a long and deep history in Wisconsin. In the mid-1800s, a lot of Germans immigrated to the area, bringing their music, their refreshments, and their instruments with them. That's according to John Stevens, a longtime tuba performer and composer in Wisconsin. He's also professor emeritus of music at UW-Madison.
The basic German culture of the state, I think, has a lot to do with it. Polka bands, bands and beer, if you will.
But the tuba and polka music really got oompa-pa-ing around the Civil War era. Military band music was popular, with big names in Wisconsin like the Broadhead Brass Band. Fast forward to today. The tuba is still very much alive and well, especially on UW's campus. Looking into the tuba questions made me want to know more about what it's like to be a tuba on Wisconsin football game days.
Before the game, we'll actually parade around the city and go to some of the different places on Regent Street and play right up close to the crowd there.
That's Gabe Kepke, who's a tuba player in the UW Marching Band. The iconic band dates back to 1885, just 2 decades after the end of the Civil War. It started as a military-style ensemble, a bit smaller than today's group. Another tuba player is Max Collins. He says the band has a protocol for how members are supposed to act in uniform. But as tubas,
we get to mess with people a little bit more. If we see fans in the opposing colors, we kind of just play at their face a little bit.
Then there's the pregame and halftime performances at Camp Randall.
We're so big, you can see the bell from anywhere in a stadium.
That's Joseph Klug, another UW tuba player.
I know other instruments, they have hats with massive plumes on them, and so you can clearly tell whenever they're looking around. For us, it's you can clearly tell if we're facing the wrong way.
Corey Pompey is the UW Marching Band Director and Associate Director of Bands at UW-Madison. He says the notes tubas play are the roots of every chord, the bass lines that everything else the band plays are built on.
It's just an important sound, an important voice in the band that we just have to have.
During game day performances, the tubas assert themselves with a couple of additional antics. One of Kepke's favorites is when the tuba section builds a human pyramid. And in a tradition going back to the 1950s, the tubas famously embark on a march around the field during the second half.
We play a version of On Wisconsin that's all tuba. We also play a version of You Said It All that's all tuba. So when we're going around and playing the melody for people, it's like, it makes you feel like a star. It's awesome.
Pompey agrees. Pompey also says he enjoys just being around the tubas. They're fun. They tell jokes. They don't take things too seriously.
I should also note that it's an extremely hard-working group of people, and you have to be in order to carry that heavy instrument around for as long as they do.
And they just have a special bond. Collins says it's something he loves about being a UW tuba.
All 20 of us pretty regularly kind of hang out, so having that many people that you're just close to just because you are really makes it feel like you belong somewhere and really makes you feel like a part of something.
So keep an eye out for this pack of rhinos, as they call themselves, next game day, especially if you're not wearing cardinal red and white.
WPR's Tim Peterson brought us that piece on tubas in Wisconsin. And that story idea came through WPR's Wisconsin Project. Submit your question and we might answer it in a future story. Go to WPR.org/Wisconsin. Wisconsin Life is a co-production of Wisconsin Public Radio and PBS Wisconsin in partnership with Wisconsin Humanities. Additional support comes from Lowell Mary Peterson of Appleton. I'm Maureen McCollum.
You really cannot think of the iconic UW marching band without the tuba. What a fantastic story. Both fantastic stories and a great way to spend Labor Day. That's going to do it for our show on this Monday. Thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Alex Crowe, and our producer today was Courtney Everett. We're back to the daily news tomorrow, so why not take today to tell a friend about the show? You can find us at WPR.org and, of course, wherever you get your podcasts. Have a great rest of your day. Happy Labor Day. We'll talk to you again soon.